The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. This week, as you know, we've been all over the big news coming out of Britain and Germany and Europe over the past week, and that was also the subject of my father's Key of David program, the one that he recorded yesterday, and just reading through the transcript this morning. It's a beautiful summation of some of the things that we've tried to bring out this past week. So we're going to do something a little bit different today with the second half of the program. We're going to go ahead, since it's so timely, we're going to go ahead and play the audio track of that recording from yesterday. This is a Key of David program that won't play until next Friday in the normal channels that we usually play it. So it'll be great for you, the listener, to get a heads up on the program that'll be prepared for next weekend. As I say, it's my father's Key of David taping from yesterday on Brexit and the rise of the European superstate. Well, just to comment further on some of the facts and figures coming in, we've had quite an ad campaign going on this past week, particularly for some of the videos that we've produced. We produced a full-length video for the Trumpet Daily video or YouTube video page a couple of weeks ago. That was the one, as some of you might remember, that wasn't accepted on the TV station over in the UK. But we've gotten quite a lot of mileage out of that video on our YouTube channel. And then with what happened last week with Britain voting to leave, we've really been advertising that video. We've made a couple of smaller videos that we've sent out through Facebook and through some Google ads and so on. But it was reported to me yesterday that for the Trumpet Daily YouTube channel, so far this year we've had 967,000 views, which is more than double what we had for the first 6 months of last year. And in these first 6 months of 2016, we've also gained 4,500 subscribers to the YouTube channel. And 1,200 of those subscribers have come just in the last week, largely because of this Brexit ad campaign that we've had going on. So this represents the biggest spike in subscribers that we've ever had for the TD YouTube channel. As far as this Brexit campaign goes, I believe we've had more than 250,000 views through YouTube and Facebook of these ads, these short ads, and I think some of them are 30 seconds and maybe 90 seconds, but we've just blitzed as many people as we can with these ads, drawing a lot of attention to radio, to the website, to the YouTube channels. And it really is paying off. I've talked a little bit this week about just some of the listeners that we have on SoundCloud. Yesterday, we had 1,507 plays on SoundCloud. And as I was saying to you yesterday, if you add up the week, this past 6-7 days, the top 4 days of the year have all come in the last week. We had, as I say, 1,507 plays yesterday, 1,409 on Tuesday, going back to last Saturday, 1,620. And then, of course, the all-time record last Friday was 1,713. So we're really, I mean, we're keeping the numbers high all through the week. It wasn't just a spike last Friday. We've had our top 4 days of the year just in the last 7 days. Pretty amazing and exciting, too, that the message is going out and that people are taking note and coming back to thetrumpet.com and checking out what we have to say on the radio program or on the Key of David. It's exciting. So much is happening in the news. Boris Johnson, as you heard earlier, announces he's not going to run for prime minister today as Michael Gove declares his candidacy or his bid, a very conservative, staunch conservative in the UK. So as I said yesterday, everything in the UK on both sides of politics, it's a huge shakeup, and it'll be fascinating to watch that play out in the months ahead. But of course, our eyes really do need to be fixed on what's happening in Germany and in Europe as well. I just want to use the time that I have in this first segment to remind you of just how fast these prophetic events are unfolding. The Apostle Paul talked about sudden destruction coming upon our peoples. And of course, he said it happens at a time when you have people out there saying, well, it's peace and safety. It's as safe as it's ever been. Yesterday, I read to you this snippet from a coworker letter. Mr. Armstrong wrote this in 1980. I've been forecasting this revived Roman Empire publicly since February 1934. Now it may go together suddenly, rapidly, he said. And that's what we're seeing. Yesterday, I played a clip for you where Mr. Armstrong talked about how a German-led Europe is going to move much faster than the Russian bear, much faster than China. And when this power emerges out of Europe, you can expect for events to move rapidly. Sudden movements that will, as I played in many of those audio sound bites yesterday, that's just going to leave the world shocked and aghast at what happened. And how did they not see this coming? The Daily Express, the one I quoted from the other day, it has a piece today about an EU army. An EU army is on the way. And here again, this seems like a pretty reliable report, as it's just quoting from papers that are now circulating in Europe. It says here, according to a new foreign policy document from Brussels-based institution to be handed to EU leaders next week, a credible European defense is essential to preserve good relations, it says, with the U.S. Notice what the document itself says. This is quoting from the foreign policy document that's to be given to EU leaders over the next few days. It says, we live in times of existential crisis within and beyond the European Union. Our union is under threat. Our European project, which has brought unprecedented peace, it says, prosperity and democracy, is being questioned. To the east, the European security order has been violated, while terrorism and violence plague North Africa and the Middle East, as well as Europe itself. It says, a fragile world calls for a more confident and responsible European Union. It calls for an outward and forward-looking European foreign and security policy. It's moving fast. Prophecy, the pace of prophecies, it's accelerating. Now, the formation of a European army, this is something that many of the Euroskeptics seized upon. Many of those who were in favor of leaving in Britain, they were drawing attention to this. And, of course, made to look like extremists from those on the other side. Oh, you're just alarmists. You're right-wing, you're racist, you're this, you're that. And then here comes this European army. GermanForeignPolicy.com. Yesterday, it posted a piece on the European War Union. Basically the same story at a different publication. Together with his French counterpart, the German foreign minister has announced the EU's transformation to become a political union and its resolute militarization for global military operations. It says in a joint position paper, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, And Jean-Marc, the French foreign minister, Jean-Marc Ayrault, I think is how you pronounce his name, they're calling for the EU's comprehensive military buildup based on a division of labor to enable future global military operations. Following the Brexit, German foreign policy says, the EU should step-by-step become an independent and global actor. All forces must be mobilized, and all of the EU's political instruments must be consolidated into an integrated EU foreign and military policy. It says Steinmeier and the French foreign minister are pushing for a European security compact, which calls for maintaining employable high readiness forces and establishing standing maritime forces. It says the European Council should meet once a year as European Security Council. Before this paper was made public, Germany's foreign minister and chancellor had made comments also promoting a German global policy and massive rearmament, possibly also with EU support. So there's the push for Germany itself to build up its military, and then more broadly for the formation of a European army. And some few sounded the alarm in the lead up to Brexit. And here again, they're the ones made out to be the extremists. GermanForeignPolicy.com, it says here, they noted that Britain's withdrawal from the EU has created a new situation with consequences for the entire EU. You see, you'll note that because of what happened last week, the pace of these prophetic events, it's accelerating. Sudden destruction, Paul said. It says Berlin and Paris firmly believe that the EU provides a historically unique and indispensable framework, not only for the pursuit of freedom, prosperity, and security in Europe, but also for contributing to peace and stability in the world. Therefore, further steps will be made towards a political union in Europe, and other European states are invited to join us in this endeavor. Of course, as we said the other day, there's other states that are going to see this so-called invitation as something much more than that, a threat, intimidation. You either get on board or you're out, or you're in the second tier, you're in the second grouping. The core of Europe is forming, just as the Bible has prophesied. The 10 kings are coming together, 10 dictators, Mr. Armstrong said about them. They're coming together, and as it forms, you can expect it to move rapidly. You can expect it to come suddenly upon the scene. You can expect for it to spring upon us. Well, this piece goes on and talks about Germany spending. I think it spends currently 1.2% of its GDP on the military. Compared to the U.S. is at 3.4% of its GDP that goes to military spending. And the push is for Germany to match what the United States is doing. Is this significant from a Bible prophecy standpoint? The fact that Germany wants to spend as much of its GDP on military as the United States does? When you think about the power position it's in, when you think about the strength of its economy, and then you have the German chancellor, and you have the German foreign minister, and you have the German defense department, all talking about building up the military, forming a European army. Is that significant? You bet it is. This piece concludes. This is from GermanForeignPolicy.com. It says, just a few days ago, Foreign Minister Steinmeier declared in the U.S. Journal Foreign Affairs that Germany has become a major power and will try its best on the world stage to hold as much ground as possible. With Britain, which had always adamantly opposed an integrated EU military policy, leaving the EU, Berlin sees an opportunity for reviving its efforts at restructuring the EU's military and mobilizing as many member countries as possible for the EU's future wars. With Britain out, Germany sees this as an opportunity. How about that? Events are moving fast. Events are moving fast. Jesus said to us in Luke 21, "This generation shall not pass away until it all be fulfilled." And then he gave this warning, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that that day come upon you unawares." Take heed. Be forewarned. It's going to come upon most in this world suddenly and unexpectedly. He says further, Christ did, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." For as a snare, it's coming upon all of them that dwell on the face of the earth. It's exactly as Mr. Armstrong said, shocked. People will be dumbfounded, shocked, amazed, aghast when they see what's about to spring upon us. Verse 36, "Watch you therefore," Jesus said, "and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man at his coming." This is what we're instructed to do. Be watchful. Pray always. Be in an attitude of prayer. Be instant in prayer. Quick to turn to God in prayer. Watch world events. Watch them and don't be burdened down with all the cares of this present life. In other words, be sober, spiritually speaking. Be sober. Don't get caught up into materialism, fleshly pursuits. Support God's work. Simplify your life and support the work of God. Let's look over at 1 Peter chapter 4, a good companion passage to what Jesus said there in Luke 21. 1 Peter chapter 4 here and verse 1. It says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." We've got to arm ourselves with the same mind, Jesus Christ's mind. "Let this mind be in you," Philippians 2:5. "Let it in." Down in verse 7 it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Here we are right at the end. Christ said, "This generation shall not pass before all these things are fulfilled." The end of all things is at hand. Be sober, Peter said. Be watchful. Watch unto prayer. The imminency of these events, which culminate in the return of Jesus Christ. I mean, that just brings urgency into our lives. That changes our behavior, as my father said in the Epistles of Peter booklet. At least it should. The fact that Christ's return is now upon us? Sudden destructions coming before that. And then the spectacular return of Jesus Christ to this earth. The end of all things is at hand. My father wrote in his booklet, the worst crisis ever is about to give birth to a new and splendid age. That's what it's leading to. And so we've got to really take Peter's admonition to heart. Time is short. Be sober, he says. Watch unto prayer. My father wrote in his booklet how that sober means to be of a sound mind. It means to have curb your carnal passions. It means to exercise self-control. That's what we've got to work toward doing. Being disciplined. Focused. Single in our minds, as Jesus said. My father wrote here, we need to watch world news and our prayer life. If we aren't praying properly, we won't see what's really happening and be urgent about it. See, if we're not really mixing prayer together with our excitement for what we discuss on this program or see on my father's TV show, then that excitement will wane and we'll forget and we'll get caught up in all kinds of distractions. It's happened to tens of thousands of people, God's people in the Laodicean era, who've forgotten God, who've forgotten the laws of God, who've forgotten the prophecies of God. And now they're spiritually blind and naked, miserable. It says in verse 12 here, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Jesus Christ is about to return to this earth. And so we've got to carefully watch our prayer life, world events. Make sure you're talking to God regularly, often. Make sure you're talking to him with fervency, with energy. My father says in the booklet that we've got, if we don't have that living hope that Peter talks about, we have to pray and talk to God until we get the living hope. We have to pray in the Spirit. We have to get our minds on the things of God. We have to watch unto prayer. Down in verse 17 it says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." That's where it begins, God's people. That's who God's really concerned about right now. He's observing, he's watching, he's evaluating. He's monitoring everything that we do and say, all that we think. God's work needs God's people to be on fire for the work, to be on fire for the truth. When you look at events around us, when you look at how fast things are moving, when you look at the prophecies speaking of sudden destruction and what happens in an instant, well, it ought to change our behavior, as he brings out in his booklet. It really should make us all the more urgent in our day-to-day lives, in the way that we approach our prayer and our Bible study, in the way that we pray for God's kingdom to come. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, coming up in the second segment. As I mentioned there at the top, we'll be playing the full-length audio from my father's program that he recorded yesterday on Brexit and on the rise of Germany and the Ten Kings in Europe. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. The world is hopelessly confused about Bible history and prophecy. Understanding the Daniel 2 image could clear up most of that confusion. The Daniel 2 image gives an overview of history and prophecy like nothing else in the Bible. The Bible is a masterful work that should be studied in its entirety. The book of Daniel and the images described therein actually unlock the meaning of the prophecies in the book of Revelation. Our free booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, explains the incredible prophecies contained in these two books. Studied alongside your Bible, this booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, will bring the history and prophecy of your Bible to life. Request your free copy today. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Greetings, everyone. Britain has just left the European Union, and the whole world was shocked, and the global stocks plunged around the world. One of the triggers to Britain's getting out of the European Union was this massive immigration, but it goes a lot deeper than that. There's more to it than that, and a lot more, but where the EU goes, or the European Union goes from here, is going to shock this world 1,000 times more than Britain leaving the European Union. Now, I was not stunned by Britain leaving the European Union, because we have been proclaiming for some 70 years that it would leave. That it would leave, and how could we possibly know that? That's something to ponder. If you go back to the, let's say, the beginning of the European Union, and when they had the Maastricht Treaty and that, the Germans even then were demanding and did demand that they would not ratify that treaty unless the central bank were to be in Germany. Now they've been making demands ever since and getting most of them fulfilled. This is a nation that started both world wars, and in the beginning people were saying, well, yeah, what we have to do is get all these nations together and make sure that we anchor Germany to the European Union. But Margaret Thatcher said, why, it's just the reverse of that. She said, You've anchored the European Union to a newly dominant Germany. And dominant they have been. And they're going to be a lot more dominant from now on. And you can quickly see that. Now that Britain's out, that makes their path a lot easier. And you're going to see 10 nations come out of that European Union very quickly. Germany is absolutely dominating the European Union economically, financially, and politically. Now, what does that mean, and what does that portend for our future? After all, Germany has some dangerous proclivities at times, and that's what the problem is that we need to think about. But the good news is this. This is all connected directly to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the best news you could ever possibly hear. I mean, how could you expect anything to end more majestically than that? But how could we know for 70 years that Britain would not be a part of this European combine, which is going to morph into the 10 kings prophesied in Revelation 17 and other places in your Bible? Let me read to you what Herbert Armstrong wrote in 1956. This is 1956. Here is what he said. The stage is all set. All that's lacking now is a strong leader. The Germans are coming back from the destruction of World War II in breathtaking manner. Germany is the economic and military heart of Europe. Probably Germany will lead and dominate the coming United States of Europe. But Britain will be no part of it. Now, he said that in 1956. That's 60 years ago. How could he know? How could he possibly know that that was going to happen? Well, because it's prophesied in your Bible. It's right there for everybody to see if they're willing. We have a booklet, The Holy Roman Empire and Prophecy, that will explain all of that to you. Another one also, Daniel Unlocks the Book of Revelation, and that will explain all of this to you. But think about, what does that mean when you say, you hear somebody say something like that, and then you see it come to pass 60 years later? Well, then that's profound. That's something we can't let just pass by without our really pausing and pondering what that means. What does it mean? God has a lot to say about that, and I'll show you a scripture in just a moment. Here's another quote from Herbert W. Armstrong, The Plain Truth, March 1973. Now that Britain is in the common market, subheading. Common market was just the beginning of all the European Union. It was just a trading bloc at that time. And Mr. Armstrong wrote, Britain is going to look back on Monday, January the 1st, 1973. That's when they officially became a part of it. In all probability, as a most tragically historic date, a date fraught with ominous potentialities. For that date marked the United Kingdom's entry into the European community. Now, Britain, in reality, has never really been fully in that European Union. They did not join the European monetary system, and they kept their pound, and they didn't accept the euro, so they were only partly into it. Mr. Armstrong continues, though, for 39 years now, I've been telling our radio audience and Plain Truth readers that a political union of 10 nations in Europe would rise, resurrecting the Holy Roman Empire of the Middle Ages. I was predicting this even before World War II. Now, Britain was never going to be a part of the political union. That's just the way it is. It's now forming that way, but if you notice this, though, Mr. Armstrong not only said Britain would be in it, he actually prophesied that there would be a United States of Europe before that those 10 nations. That, too, is fulfilled prophecy. It didn't become, it had to develop and sort of morph into the 10 nations or the 10 kings. Here's another quote from Mr. Armstrong, May 1953. Think about that. This time, 10 powerful European nations will combine their forces. It will be a gigantic, powerful empire. It's going to be powerful. Well, that's a prophecy too. How does he know it's going to be powerful? Well, it could be weak and it could fall apart. But he said, no, it's going to be powerful because the Bible says it's going to be powerful. Bible prophecy says that. And it's very clear to all of us if we're entering into our Bible study with an open mind. Here's another quote he said, and he made in 1962. Through these years, I have said it would come as an economic force bringing unprecedented prosperity to Europe, but also it is to become a political and military combine, a gigantic third power bloc. And that will include more population, greater manpower, and possibly even greater military resources than either the United States or Russia. Amazing. He goes on to say, when this giant combine, the United States of Europe, finally emerges as such before a startled and dumbfounded world. In other words, this is going to startle and dumbfound the world a lot more, 1,000 times more, I'm sure, than what Britain's leaving the European Union did to the world, and shocked the world in that way. But he said it will last only a short time. That's good news too when you consider what it's going to do. And he said it will fight against Jesus Christ at his second coming, and that will be its end. It'll never ever be resurrected again, because this is number seven, the seventh Holy Roman Empire. Talks about the 10 horns. The last seven of those horns are called the Holy Roman Empire. And there are seven of them. Six of them have already come and gone. And now we see the seventh one staring us in the face. Mr. Armstrong made one more comment here in 1979, but it will be exceedingly short-lived. That's in Revelation 17, 10 and 12. And it's iron mixed with miry clay and not adhesive and will not stick together. Several scriptures tell you that. Here's one more quote, one more quote I want to give you from Mr. Armstrong. He said, it is speaking of the one who will be the ruler of the soon coming, resurrected, holy Roman Empire. That is the leader. A sort of soon coming United States of Europe, a union of 10 nations to rise out of or following the common market of today. Britain will not be in that empire soon to come. Britain will not be in it. He said that again, and this time in 1985, just 1 year before he died. He just kept saying this over and over and over, and all of this has been fulfilled. More than just about Britain not being in that combine. But let's look at a scripture that tells you something that really ought to stir us and really ought to make us realize how the Bible is a living book from the living God. Notice what God says in Jeremiah 28 and verse 9. The prophet which prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him. Well, how about that? That's simple enough, isn't it? If the prophecy comes to pass, these foundational prophecies right there in your Bible that God has revealed to His prophet of years ago, He said, look, if that prophecy comes to pass, you know the Eternal has sent that prophet. That shows He is a prophet if He has these prophecies being fulfilled. Do we believe God? Do we really believe God? The headline was available to the world, the headline about Britain leaving the European Union and about the European Union rising, and now we're facing those 10 nations or 10 kings. I mean, that headline was given 70 years ago. But people don't believe their own Bibles. And they don't believe somebody who comes and tells them exactly what their Bible says and that they can prove it, but most people don't prove it. And they don't move ahead spiritually. But if you start proving and acting on what God says, it's going to move you forward spiritually in amazing ways. See, when that word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Eternal has truly sent him. God sent him. If a person can prophesy and give you these prophecies, and they come to pass exactly as they say they will, then you can be sure that God sent that prophet. You can be sure that God sent that message. But who really knows what's in the Bible? People don't really know what their own Bible teaches in many cases. But look, we have been delivering that same message of Mr. Armstrong's that he delivered, and God has added a great deal more new revelation to what we have today. And we've been teaching that revelation for almost 30 years ourselves. Just adding to what Mr. Armstrong taught when he came on the scene when the sixth head was on this earth. But now we see the seventh one almost fully formed. And then, let me tell you, this world is indeed going to be dumbfounded and frightened out of their skulls in some ways before Christ gets here. But He's coming, and you can bet your life on that. You can be absolutely sure of that. So we have many prophecies that we've talked to you about that were Mr. Armstrong gave us, and I mean they have just, the Bible has just told us explicitly what's coming. What is coming? And these are just, really you could say they're just mind-bending prophecies that are foundational and ought to stir us and move us and get us inspired and want to get ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And we can be His bride if we'll come out now before His second coming and sit on His throne with Him for all eternity. Now that's some reward, because there's no other in the Bible like it for any of humanity. There is no other. I want to read to you a shocking, truly a shocking article that just tells you today what we have been saying for 70 years. This is from the Daily Express in Britain. And notice what it says, European superstate to be unveiled, the EU nations to be morphed into one. Well, wow, into one. Well, is that biblical? Well, you ought to read Revelation 17 and verse 13, and where it says there will be a one mind. See, that's what Margaret Thatcher didn't like. You're anchoring Europe to Germany. She called it a German Europe, not just a European Union, a German Europe. And that's exactly what this article is saying. And it's what your Bible says as well. European political chiefs are to take advantage of Brexit, or Britain leaving the European Union, by unveiling their long-held plan. See, this is planned for a long, long time. And some people see that, but not very many. That this was all planned long ago, and to actually hijack the European Union. Now that's serious business, but that's what it's about, and it's going to morph, it says, in to morph the continent's countries into one giant superstate. It has emerged today. The foreign ministers of France and Germany are due to reveal a blueprint. Please listen to this closely, if you will. The foreign ministers of France and Germany are due to reveal a blueprint to effectively do away with individual states in what is being described as an ultimatum. Either come in with one mind and think like Brussels, or you don't come in. Now there is how the 10 nations and 10 kings are going to be developed, and it's going to be done quickly. Quickly. It could happen easily in a year or two. So we need to watch that. The article goes on to say, under the radical proposals, EU countries will lose the right to have their own army, criminal law, taxation system, or central bank, with all those powers being transferred to Brussels. One mind. See, the article continues, controversially, member states would also lose what few controls they have left over their own borders. See, that was a big concern of Britain's. Including the procedure for admitting and relocating refugees. Well, they can even tell you where you have to put these refugees, whether you want them or not. One mind from Brussels. And who's going to be the one that calls the shots here and directs the projects that they have? Well, this article says the plot. It is a plot. And it's been a plot from the beginning. This is what people don't know, for the most part. The plot has sparked fury and panic in Poland, a traditional ally of Britain in the fight against federalism. The public broadcaster reports that the bombshell proposal will be presented to a meeting of the group of countries made up of Poland, the Czech Republic, Hungary, and Slovakia, by German Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier later today, June 27th. I mean, giving them orders. This is what you have to do if you want to be a part of this. And here's the real heart of this article. Excerpts of the 9-page report were published today as the leaders of Germany, France, and Italy met in Berlin for Brexit crisis talks, or this crisis talks about Britain leaving the EU. Now look, Germany and Italy, and France along with them here, a heavyweight in the European Union, certainly, but Germany and Italy, what does that mean? Well, Germany and Italy have been the core of most of the Holy Roman Empires. Now here it is again. If you want to see and find out where the 10 kings are, follow Germany and Italy, and probably France, but Germany and Italy in particular. And you'll come right to the 10 kings that is prophesied in Revelation 17 and other prophecies of your Bible. He goes on to say, this article does, that our countries share a common destiny and a common set of values that give rise to an even closer union between our citizens. We will therefore strive for a political union in Europe and invite the next Europeans to participate in this venture. Now there again, you see, is that's the Holy Roman Empire. That's the giving birth to the Holy Roman Empire and the 10 kings or 10 nations that are going to wreak havoc in this world. And you need to understand how they're going to do it, and our booklets will explain all of that to you. Watch those two nations and cling, watching those that cling to them, well, that's where you're going to find the 10 nations, right there. And this is a pivotal prophecy in Revelation 17. Let me read this to you. Revelation 17 and verse 10. Remember, there were 10 resurrections of the Roman Empire. The last seven are called the Holy Roman Empire. Six of them are already come and gone. Now notice what it says in verse 10 of Revelation 17. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue a short space. Now, the one is, that's when Mr. Armstrong was there telling you that Britain was not going to be a part of it. He was on the scene and prophesying all about the sixth head and also telling you a lot about the seventh head that was coming. But he was there in World War II when that sixth head rose up. When one is, he was on the scene. Some prophet of God had to be on the scene. One is when that sixth head was alive and well. And that was Herbert W. Armstrong. Told us all about it. The United States and Britain in Prophecy. Another book that you need if you don't have it. It's absolutely essential to understand your Bible. But here, you see, Britain is going to be out for certain. And you can read in verses 12 and 13, it's going to just last 1 hour. And it talks about the 10 kings. And all of them are going to, it's going to be one mind. And says, they shall give their power and strength unto the beast or to that government. That's just what it means. The woman is a symbol of a church. And it tells us all about what is going to happen next. What is going to happen next? And you can, the Daily Express in May 17, 2012 talked about the new Charlemagne, and that Britain was, they already were planning to push Britain out of that union, at least some significant people were. And he talked about Napoleon Bonaparte or and Charlemagne, men like that. And they talk about who is going to be the Charlemagne that rules the Holy Roman Empire. Charlemagne was a dictator who waded through pools and rivers of blood to conquer in Europe and convert people to his religion. That was even on the Drudge Report. And they talk about a super president is coming. Well, if I have time, I'll get into that. I'll mention it briefly to you, but there is a super president coming, and this has already been hijacked, this European Union. But when that strong man comes on the scene, it's talked about in Daniel 8 and verse 23. You ought to read that and study it. He's going to come on the scene, and when he gets here, you're going to see things move with lightning speed. And there's a famous politician, Zu Gutenberg, that says there's a big vacuum in Europe. They don't have any strong leadership. Who is that new Charlemagne that's going to come on the scene? Verse 23 of Daniel 8, you can see here, I'll just quickly read it. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. There's your strong leadership. It is coming. And then it talks about the destruction of this great empire and all the nations that will be destroyed in verse 25. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. That's Christ. He's going to stand up against Christ, but he shall be broken without hand. Broken forever without hand. And then Jesus Christ is going to rule and bring peace to this earth. You can read in Revelation 17 and verse 14 where it talks about these shall make war with the Lamb. They're going to fight the Lamb. They're going to fight the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they're going to be destroyed. And God is going to, and we're going to be right there with God, fighting that battle with Him if we're the chosen, true, and the faithful. That's great news. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.